Well, good morning. Let's look together at Genesis 12. Genesis 12, 1 through 9. And this is the beginning of the story of Abraham. And Abraham's story is the story of all of God's children. We are God's children by faith. By faith in his promise, by faith in his word. You cannot be a son or daughter of God without faith. And God called Abraham to see what God had done for him and to trust God for his future, an unknown future. And Abraham responded with faith. He left everything, went with his family to follow God's call and believe the promise. So Abraham then is the father of all who will believe, who will receive, who will die to what makes sense to themselves and trust God and go. Genesis 12, 1 through 9. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their possessions that they had gathered and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. May God bless the reading, hearing, and teaching of his holy word. So for Abraham and for us, what does it mean to have faith and to act on it? What does this look like? Well, we'll look at it under three headings: listen, go, and be yourself. First, listen. Just look at the very first phrase in verse 1. That God speaks is at the forefront here. Now, the Lord said could also be translated the Lord had said, because when he was living in Ur, he heard a call from God to go. Listening. Listening is the first step in obedience to God. But listening is based on the promise, not like Siri in my iPhone, who can often be wrong. She promises to give me good directions. One time, I really needed the right directions because I was going someplace that I hadn't been before, and so I said, "Hey Siri, give me directions to blankety blank." I was taking my son to a soccer match, and he needed to be at this location, at this field, at this time, right? And Siri took us all these turns, and she was very confident in the turns, and then she said, "You've arrived at your location. In front of me is a dead end and a field, yes, head high in weeds and rocks and bricks everywhere." And I looked at my son, I was like, "Ethan, I don't think this is the field." So I did what every smartphone user does. I put Siri away and said, "Okay, Google." And yes, Google did get me right. So now I have an altar to Google. No, I'm kidding. But listening to God and hearing Him is not like anything man-made, of course. Listening to God, leaning into Him because of His faithfulness to His promise, sure and certain. Listening can be easily downgraded. I know what God says. Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah, I read the Bible. I know what to do. And it become minimized in your life. I was thinking it might be one reason why the Bible is so big, so long, so many pages. You know, God wants us to take it in, to ingest it, and to have a lot of it to take in, to overwhelm us with His promises, His faithfulness. It's a book of history. Look back and see all the ways that God has proven His truth by fulfilling His promises. And look for Abraham, just in this passage. He says, go, but then he piles up six times, I will do this. I will make of you. I will make this happen. God is tuning Abraham's ear so that he can hear him. And the text gives us lots of hints that this was not so easy for Abraham. There were now present, and there would be to come, the story of Abraham, all kinds of obstacles. In chapter 11, verse 30, we learn that Sarah, his wife, is barren, and that they are old, and that they are childless. And yet God says, I'm going to make of you a great nation. And then in verse 6, Abram passed through the land. He's in the Canaan land, and he goes to the Oak of Moreh. This is a shorthand for there's a great big worship center there, and they're not worshiping Yahweh. And he says that at that time, the Canaanites were in the land. You're going to this beautiful promised land, and I'm going to give it to you, but there's people who already live there who don't love me. What about us? What about you? What circumstance in your life makes it difficult for you to hear God's promises? In the midst of the obstacles that you know are ahead, what do you tune your ear to? What does your ear look out for? One time I took our youth group to a high ropes course at a summer camp. And, you know, it was team building and learning trust and, you know, a high ropes course on the video and from the ground looks really awesome. But when you get up 30 feet and it's just, that's what it is, it's ropes. You know, it's just ropes and maybe a few planks and stuff. It's a whole lot different than the way you saw it on the ground. And me being the fearless youth leader, I was going to go up there and show them how to do it. Whew. And I remember they had me on top of a power pole, a telephone pole, which is just big enough for your feet, right? But I had to get on top of that pole and stand. I still remember. It gives me the shakes. I remember doing like this, like trying to get close to the wood so that I could hold on to the wood or something. It was just crazy. And then I heard a voice. Hey, Michael. And I had to focus in. Turn my ear, right? Turn my focus to listening to the director of the camp who had built this high ropes course, who was going to get me from the top of that telephone pole to jump to another set of ropes, a rope ladder, and not die. And I'm here, so I didn't die. When you listen in order to hear from God, in order to obey what God has for you, because He built this whole system. He built you. He knows what steps for you to take. This is what people mean when they ask, well, have you prayed about it? Well, of course I've prayed about it. Well, wait a minute. When people ask that question, they're asking, have you stopped Have you sought God? Or are you just listening to your own circumstances, listening to your own busyness, your own noise? See, are you hearing God's voice in the scriptures speak to you? Because taking action without listening is just pride and fear and will make you stumble and fall. But to listen with faith in the promises, see, then you know that you are being like Abraham and Sarah, that you are sons and daughters like them. Listen to what the author of Hebrews says about Abraham and Sarah and about us. From Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. As for Abraham and Sarah, the same for us. Abraham was called to listen so that he could go. So go, and as you're going, listen. And as you're going, bless. Abraham's called to go, he's called to leave. And in ancient cultures, your land is everything. Security, it's your future. It's your inheritance. It's your retirement. It's for your grandkids on down. These are your people. This is your land. This is tribalism, right? Tribes and that have land for centuries. We get a taste today of this when people ask, you know, where are you from? People want to know what made you. What's your upbringing like? What's your culture? They want to know if they identify with anybody that you might know together and have a connection with. Okay. Abraham is called to give up all of this. Okay. All of this. He's raised in Ur, which is 1,000 miles from Canaan. They've settled in Haran for a time, which is another 400 miles to Canaan. Okay. He has roots. He has family possessions. He's called to leave it all behind. Abraham is the new beginning. He's a second Adam, okay, by which God is going to bless the whole earth, all the families of the earth. And same with us. We're on a journey. We're strangers. We're exiles. We know there's a promised land ahead, and God calls us to bless others with what he's given us. You can't get away from what the call to Christian faith is. That's why Jesus says, count the cost. Okay? It's a call to leave behind what makes sense, to leave behind things that we might put our faith and trust in, our hopes in this life. Leave that behind. Die to those things, see, in order to be a channel of God's grace to the world. So look at this word bless, okay? This assurance, this promise. 6 times, bless. The word bless means to kneel. The Hebrew root of the word is to kneel. So think of how that would help us take back the word bless from its trivial, empty usage. Okay. To bless means to take up what has been given to you and use it to give life to others. Look at how God blesses. He gives what is His possession, right? He gives what is His to give. He shares. He overflows. The Trinity is in perfect community with itself in heaven, and it overflows love. It overflows generosity. This is the definition of love. It has to overflow. This is what God does. He blesses all the families of the earth and blesses all those who have the faith of Abraham. There are assets and gifts and riches and joys to be received from God. God says, I will bless you. I will make of you a great nation. Okay? God kneels. God condescends. God comes down in order to give what is His to give at our level. See, this is Jesus. This is what Jesus did. Came down to be with us, to become human, to be one of us. See, left all that was comfortable for Him in order to serve, to kneel and to give to all who were received from Him. This is getting at the root of what Jesus means when He says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Those who are willing to be poor, willing to accept that they're poor and empty and have nothing, therefore are those who are willing to receive from Him. And those are the people who are able to bless. When he was 10 years old, this man named Barry Lundgren saw a Ferrari in a parking lot. And like a lot of little boys, he was interested in fast cars, race cars, matchbox cars, Hot Wheels. And he started walking towards this Ferrari to get a closer look at it. And he heard somebody say, hey, don't get too close to my car. And he says that he remembered that. From when he was 10 years old, he remembered and thought to himself, if I ever own a Ferrari, I'm not going to say that. And I'm going to share it with people. So guess what? He now owns a Ferrari Enzo, which was one of 400 made. 399 of them were sold, and one was donated to the Pope. You know, Ferrari, Italian, kind of makes me want to convert to Catholicism. Maybe there's a chance. And he drives it around, and he says it's like when a celebrity walks into a room. I mean, people turn their heads, they see it, they ask him, hey, can I take a picture of it? He's like, wait a minute. You go sit in the front seat, and I'll take a picture of you. And he has an Instagram account called Share the Enzo, where he has all these pictures of course, himself enjoying it, but all these other people enjoying it too. He says, part of the joy of owning it is the joy it brings to others. And I don't know if this man, Barry Lundgren, is a Christian, but he understands generosity. He understands that he has received a gift, and gifts are meant to be shared. Reminds me of Paul. Paul's admonition in 1 Timothy 6, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. And that's Abraham. Abraham is the father of faith and father of all those who have been granted material riches. Abraham was made rich, and God used those riches to bless others. Now, the flip side of bless. Some of you know what it is like to have that channel of blessing be attacked be disdained and have been hurt by it yourselves. Some of you are tempted then to shrink back and withdraw into yourself and hold on to your gifts and keep them just for you and not really let other people know what they are because you've been hurt by people attacking your gifts. I saw one time a TED talk by a model, and she was talking. It's like, the reason I wanted to give this talk is because I didn't do anything to have this natural gift given to me of this beauty that magazine publishers and photographers want to photograph. You know, and if I had been born 200 years earlier, I would not at all meet the standard of beauty that is today. And I want to tell you people a secret. Yes, I might get photographed all day, and yes, modeling might look really glamorous, but me and my modeling friends are backstage every day thinking to ourselves and talking about it, about how we don't measure up, about how we don't feel pretty, about how we talk about all of our flaws. And you think that all this life that we have of modeling is just this glamorous life. It's not. And so I say to that, as a father of daughters, and as a husband, and as a pastor, do you see what that is? Sometimes you can curse yourself. Sometimes you can dishonor yourself and the gifts that God has given you that you didn't ask for, that are just gifts. And you can dishonor what God has done, dishonor what God has given. Abraham was going to face opposition because of the promise. You will too. You will face envy. You will face jealousy. You'll face idolatry. People glomming on to you because they want a part of you because it makes them feel better about the gift that you have, and they want to somehow steal it from you to make themselves feel better. Ugh, it's repugnant. It's under a curse. But because of what you have been given, and because of your ability to receive it and know it was not earned, you can respond with blessing. You can love your enemies and people that treat your gifts with disdain. You fight back with the weapons of compassion and kindness and mercy, love that would lead to God breaking open their hearts to see what God has given them, because everyone has received beautiful assets from God. So what do you do when you face opposition? Verse 7. Remember in verse 6 where he's facing opposition? He comes to this huge worship center and God reminds him that the Canaanites are in the land. Then verse 7, God reminds him with the I will. To you and to your offspring, I will give this land. Jesus says, I am with you always. Persevere. Don't withdraw. Don't shrink back. Go further and deeper. God wants to enable us to be ourselves with what he's given. To be your redeemed, repurposed, renewed self, who you are in Christ. So let's look at this last. Be yourself. Abram went in verse 4. He went as the Lord told him. He's responding to God's promise. God's going to make his name great so that he will be a blessing. Do you see the grammatical construct of that? It goes against everything in your natural response, which says, okay, oh, I've been given these gifts. Great. Now it's a heavy burden on me. Now it's all on my shoulders. Now I'm carrying around this backpack full of blessings that I've got to do something with. I've got to be a conduit. I've got to give people. See, you're missing. Missing. You've gotten it backwards. It's so easy to flip it. It's not up to you. God makes you a blessing. God orchestrates your circumstances and the people that you're with and the people that he brings across your path. All you have to do is listen. Lean in more. God, what do I do here? And it just overflows out of you. not your performance, but your receptiveness, your humility. That's a magnet, and like moth to a flame, people are drawn to. You will be a blessing. It's a promise. See? As soon as you become a Christian, as soon as you take the plunge into faith, you have died. You have been crucified with Christ. You've died to everything that the world says means something. Okay? Reputation, possessions, family, country, kindred. Yes, even in Alabama, your family is not the most important thing in your life. Okay? You are then free to live how you were meant to live. Free to serve your master's kingdom. Free to be about his business. Free to enjoy him and just be yourself as he's made you to be. Some of you remember, if you don't, you got to see the movie. Some of you remember this scene from Braveheart where the Scottish Highlanders are outnumbered. They're about to face the English. The English have cavalry and horses and arrows, and the Scottish Highlanders have their homemade weapons and their shields. Okay? And so William Wallace goes and makes a big speech because they're thinking about leaving. They're thinking about turning back and going home. He makes a great speech, and then he comes back, and one of his warriors says to him, "Nice speech. Now what do we do?" And he says to them, "Just be yourselves." And that's what God is saying to us. That's what he's saying to Abraham. He's saying, if you will just look and see what God has given you, see what he's made you to be, if you will just lean in and listen more to his promise and quiet the noise in your own soul, see, you get to be yourself and live a life of blessing others. See, look what Abraham did. Look how he responded to the promises, twice, verse 7 and verse 8, he worshiped. See, he heard the promise again, he built an altar. He moved around some more, he remembered the promise again, he built an altar. I can't help it what God has promised me, he's given this to me, and I'm here. And my only response is to worship him. I'm present. God is present. He has put me where he's put me, in this land, in this place. Don't shrink back from who God's made you to be. You're going to get attacked and attack some more. But you just respond with worship, with giving God the credit and the glory. Man, I wish some of y'all had a Ferrari that I could go sit in. You may not own a Ferrari, okay? But you do own your faith. You have received this gift of faith, the faith of Abraham, and now it is yours. You own it, and you're freed from keeping it to yourself, that it just be about individual Americanized churchianity. No, you're freed to share it, and listening is the place to start, because listening helps you see what and hear and know what God has given. What God has promised you. We'll end with this story from John and Dylan Peters. John and Dylan Peters are members of Altadena, and they're missionaries in Costa Rica. And they sent this newsletter. "Having kids provides us with many opportunities to develop relationships that we would not have otherwise." What has God given you that he has used in your life to develop relationships with people that you wouldn't have otherwise? See? They have kids. "Our taxi drivers with children have given us their phone numbers so that we can have park play dates together. People want their children to practice English, and we won't turn down any opportunity to get to know them. Our daughter has started taking ballet, so for 45 minutes every week, Dylan, is sitting in the waiting room with a group of Costa Rican moms while our children are in class together. It's my favorite part of the week. I've had the privilege of praying for two different mothers who are grieving in different ways. These conversations have reminded me that the Lord brings people across our paths intentionally, and listening can be a powerful tool for evangelism. May God raise up more listeners among us, people of faith who lean in, who listen to God, who bask in His promises and cannot help but overflow out of God's kindness, out of God's abundant grace that He has given to us, that we are channels, conduits of blessing to all the families of the earth. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, help us then to see and to hear, to have our ears tuned to Your great promises, to all that we have been given. Help us, Lord, to see the attacks as opportunities to glory more in what You have given and to pray more, to humble ourselves, to know that all that we have received is just what You have chosen to give. Help us to know what our assets are, what our gifts are, that You might use us to be channels of Your great, abundant grace, overflowing to all the families of the earth. In Jesus' name we ask, amen.